This is the Cubs-related podcast presented by Cubs Insider. I'm Brendan. With me is Corey. Tonight is May 14th. The Cubs just lost 2 of 3 to the St. Louis Cardinals. Their record falls to 18-19 on the year. Corey, I'm not going to lie. I'm not too pleased with how they've played. It doesn't change my outlook on the year per se, but I'm going to be honest with you. I am frustrated on the defense, the pitching. I'm not saying this is going to continue, but as a fan, like, I am genuinely, and this is the first time in a while, I am frustrated with some of these dumb mistakes.
So, Brendan, I think I remember when I agreed to start doing the podcast with you, you promised me that we would be doing a podcast on a winning team. I didn't really sign up for this. And if the Cubs are going to be turning in a sub-500 effort on the field, you can bet I'm going to match them on this podcast. So I am going to be below replacement level from now on.
I can see this podcast is eventually going to change from clean to explicit if this continues. I can just see it right now. Right.
Yeah, you got that right, boy. Hey, I bet we get better ratings. Cubs are bad, but we turn up the language and we turn the heat up, you know.
Well, hopefully we don't have to do that. But seriously though, like I wish you guys could have listened to our conversation before Corey and I like actually started recording this. It was much more colorful than what this is going to be, but
I'm just going to start it to get the ball rolling here and just to play off of your general frustration.
Yeah.
And granted, this is a stat that comes with some confounding variables, of course. So looking at it in a vacuum is, you know, it has its perils. But I'm just going to throw this out here. The Cubs lead the National League in errors.
Yeah.
They are number one in the National League. They are third in the entire MLB in errors. And I said this to you before, but Brendan, I got to ask you, is it a good look when your manager is walking around in shirts that say DP on them and you're leading the league in errors?
Not only that, too, the plays that they should be making that are not counted as errors. I can tell you right now, Baez made one. Addy has made one. Baez threw to third that one time at shortstop and they get the out. Addy threw home, they get the out. Like, look. These defensive metrics take a while to stabilize. I'm fully aware of that. But I've watched a good majority of these games. This is not the defense they played last year. Okay.
Well, and it's just to the point where, like you said, they're not doing simple better. And you have, and you know, we've spoken about this before. But it's almost as though Wilson Contreras was watching Miguel Montero last year and he's thinking to himself, well, I can throw the ball into the outfield more than he can. it's wild, man. I mean, we were talking about this before, but I can think of at least three examples of strikeouts or bunts, you know, that fall right in front of the catcher that Wilson just can't turn into outs. Mm-hmm. And I remember the time it happened against the Dodgers, which was the second week of the season, we came on here and said that was totally unacceptable. It gave the Dodgers, that was the one game the Dodgers win at Wrigley Field, and it gave them the second run in the game. So instead of a 1-0 bottom of the ninth against Jansen, it was a 2-0 bottom of the ninth, which is a huge difference when you're talking about somebody like Hanley Jansen. And I remember then saying that it was totally unacceptable and not something that could be allowed to happen. And it's happened, even going off the top of my head, I know for sure it's happened twice. And I would guess that there's a couple more in there. I know he's thrown the ball into the outfield trying to get guys at third. And, you know, you just have them. They're messing up routine double plays. This team, a lot of what they did last year was built on the defense and then executing the small stuff, and they're not doing it. And it's getting to a point where, you know, we're running the gambit now on, oh, well, the travel's, you know, been rough on them. Ah, well, we've played deep into the season the last couple of years. That's all true. I'm not, you know, like calling them out for making excuses. The truth is the truth, right?
Yeah.
But we're getting to a point where it's like, guys, like, you got to clean this up. Like, this is bad baseball. It's one thing, again, I was saying this to you before we got on, like the game on Saturday, right? Like it's Carlos Martinez versus John Lester. In reality, neither team should really be thinking like, oh, that's a game we're definitely going to win, or, ah, man, how could we lose to that guy? Like these are, you know, the top pitchers in each rotation. Cubs are on the road at a Cardinal team that's been playing well. Like, that's not necessarily a game going in that you're thinking, oh, man, this is a, you know, an easy win for us. But it's one thing if Martinez just, you know, dominates you and whatever. But when they're playing and making errors and not, you know, and I know you wanted to get into it, but things like Ian Happ oversliding the bag, whatever you think about that rule, you're giving the other team outs. You're not taking away as many outs as we're accustomed to this team taking. It's getting to a point where, you know, I think the general frustration is, like you said, it's switching into kind of an anger. Like, guys, let's effing go.
Yeah.
All right. Like, yeah. You guys, I know you're the defending world champions, and I've made this joke, and it's true. It's not really a joke. I've said it 1,000 times. Like, before Game 7 of the World Series, I, to whatever God you happen to believe in, promised that if they won that game, that's all I was asking. And it's true. Even here, I still sit there. I'll take that World Series, and I will die a happy man. But we're here playing a new year. They talk about wanting to repeat. They've got all the slogans, and I know they want to repeat. This is not how you do it, Brendan.
Yeah. I don't know why this is happening. And I'm not going to say it's – I'm dumbfounded here. I'm not going to say it's from a lack of effort. I'm not going to be that type of fan. I just don't know why they're making these dumb mistakes. It has to be cleaned up. And look, just to go back in the Wilson Contreras game one of the Cardinals series, that – I'm sorry, but that never, ever should happen, okay?
No.
Ever. And – There is mutual responsibility on the end of Rizzo, too. Rizzo is walking to the bag. You've seen Wilson throw a 95-mile-per-hour two-seam like Byung-Young Kim to first base several times in your career. You got to get to the bag, man. Like, you got to get to the bag and expect that your hot-headed catcher may do that.
Sure, but we are to a point where when your closer's ending the game, get the damn ball to the first baseman, all right?
I know, this is ridiculous.
And it's ridiculous that everybody has to hold their breath because he insists on throwing the ball 150 miles an hour.
I don't care
what you have to do to get the outs, but cut it out. It has to stop. Like, this is not, you know, and this is one of those things where I know Wilson is young, and trust me, like, I feel like you and I are some of the most patient people with these guys, and we're not expecting them, you know, Wilson Contreras, like, all of a sudden is the best catcher of all, you know, he's Yogi Berra back there,
yeah.
But you are the starting catcher on this team. You earn that job. You earn the right to have that job. You gotta live up to the level you're playing at,
yeah.
And this is the kind of stuff where you want to be worried about, you know, making adjustments and having a good approach at the plate and, like, becoming a more professional hitter and stuff. You don't need to be worrying about whether you can throw guys out on a dropped third strike. I mean, that's ridiculous. And if they had lost that game on Friday, that is a crippling loss. You had Eddie Butler come out, and we'll get into him to give you a hell of an outing. Right? Like,
yeah.
The outing that I think many of us were dreaming of to solve some of these rotation problems, or at least help them.
Yeah.
Right? And you're literally going to throw it away after Wade Davis comes in and his lights out again. You're going to throw the ball. I mean, it's enough already.
Yeah.
It can't happen. It's May. We're getting to the point where, like, we can't keep writing this off as just early season malaise or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Okay, so if you've listened to Corey and I, we probably have come close to now, like, maybe over 100 episodes. This probably is the first episode where we're talking in this tone. I guess the point I'm making is it takes a lot to piss us off. And when you make dumb mistakes like that, that really does piss me off. And I have to hold my breath on a drop third strike, hoping that, you know, our starting catcher doesn't overthrow or airmail Rizzo or throw it through him. Like, that's, someone's got to talk to him. It's just that simple. And then let's get into this Ian Happ slide. And then we'll talk about Butler, because Butler was...
Well, so first, yeah. Let's clarify, since the last time we spoke, yeah. Ian Happ is now on the major league roster. Yeah. Not something I think really any of us were anticipating. I think the kind of convergence of Russell dealing with some stuff and Chris Bryant being sick. I don't know that if they've ever said what Chris is dealing with. I'm assuming because they won't say it means it's butt stuff. right? I mean, I don't know. I feel like they would have said if it wasn't, hey, he's in the bathroom all day.
He gets sick around this time every year, though. This is a third straight year. Remember last year, or was his rookie year, they thought he was hungover or something? I don't know if you remember that.
Hey, man, everybody poops. And then, you know, yeah. Pat Hughes has been taken off that fifth inning for my entire life. So, you know, so there's just certain things you can count on. But so Ian Happ is up with the MLB team. Obviously, he homers. His first major league hit is a two-run home run. He's played both games since he's been up, and at least for now, he's sticking with the club. I think anybody's best guess, really, as to what their plan is going forward. They haven't really laid it out for us. I know Joe Maddon told him just to go out there and enjoy it, and we'll, you know, kind of see where we are as we go along. So a bit of a surprise.
Absolutely.
Exciting, though. I mean, you know, certainly exciting. Obviously, he's come up and done pretty well. His versatility is something that he's often spoke about, and it's obviously going to help the Cubs in the immediate future, and we'll see what goes on with that, I guess.
I do want to just sing my own praise, actually, because if you were to go back to our preseason podcast, the question that I asked was, when will we see Ian Happ and Evan Altman and Jared Willis of Baseball Prospectus and Evan with Cubs Insider, obviously, they both said either traded or maybe later in the year.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, and what did I see, Corey? I said I would not be surprised if we see him up relatively soon. Granted, I think I did say June, but it's the same thing they did with Candelario last year when he made his debut. He was called up way sooner than we all expected, and the Cubs have this trend. Even Addison Russell was called up way before we expected, and if there's a pressing need for this team, they're gonna call their guys up. So I'm in one perspective, I am surprised, because I mean, I didn't think it was going to be this early, but on the other hand, I'm not too surprised. And for all we know, it could just be like a little tease for the scouts way ahead of the deadline if they
sure.
do need
pitching. Well, and you know, you have him playing well down there. He's seeing the ball well down there. And, you know, obviously that's kind of how it played out. You bring him up and hope that he can continue doing that. And he has. So, you know, hopefully he's feeling good and that helps him adjust a little smoother. But, you know, I mean, look, like Joe Maddon's not wasting any time. I mean, he's hitting two today. So, you know, they're throwing him out there. They believe in him. So, and he's backing it up for him. So he's the only guy on the team that can hit right now. So,
and just to continue this frustrating tone, this one did also irritate me. The Ian Happ slide past second base, a run would have scored to make that score 3-2. Instead, Ian Happ was called out. The score remained 3-1. The Cubs eventually lost that game. The crux of the argument, I think, is twofold. One, is that slide rule fair? Can or should runners be able to take out the runner in more of a clean way, not an obvious, as Maddon described, egregious way where you go out and potentially destroy someone's lower half of the body? That's the first part of the argument. The second part of the argument is whether or not the umpires are calling that play consistently. So we can get into either one of those. But Corey, you know my perspective. I disagree with the concept of basically Ian Happ's slide as like the poster child of what I disagree with, where you go in cleanly, you slide past the bag a little bit, and you're called out on a play that was not going to be double play. I disagree with that, just in the same tone as Maddon disagrees. However, you have to know that is the rule. That's the second time that's happened this year already. You're giving away outs, especially when you have the opposing pitcher on the mound who you're trying to get a few runs across the board, and you need every one of those outs. So while the rule does suck, that has to be pounded into the brains of these Cubs players that you can't put yourselves in situations to give the umpire opportunities to make those bad calls. You gotta put yourself in a safe position there. And if you look at what Almora does, I'm not saying this is intentional what he does, but there, I would guess that on double plays, probably 25% of the time, Almora doesn't even reach second base. He slides far before he even reaches the bag. So you do what you got to do so you don't have any type of gray area for the umpire to call you as an out. And that is what frustrates me. And I don't like when Joe Maddon comes out and he's arguing with the umpire saying that's a BS rule. Joe, that is not the time to bring that up after the fact. Argue that before your player goes and gives himself away.
Well, I mean, it reminds me kind of when guys are called out on borderline pitches in like a 3-2 count or something like that. And it's like, sure, right? If it's a ball or a strike, it should be called a ball or a strike. But that's an argument for after the game.
Yes.
During the game, the umpires make the rules. We all know this. And we all know that if you're in a 3-2 count and it's close, you have to swing. Does that make any sense? Of course it doesn't, right? If it's a ball or a strike, it should be a ball or a strike.
Yeah.
But in the middle of the game, when you know that's how the system works, that's how the system works, right?
Joe might as well go out there and talk to the umpire and say, you know what, Joe West, we need to replace you with a robo up next year.
It's just not the time. And I think, if I recall correctly, like Ian Happ really should not have been – he didn't need to do a take outside. They were not going to turn a double play
on that ball. The adrenaline's going, major league debut. You need to know not to do that.
I think it falls in the category of, you know, we're not playing well to be doing stuff like that. We got to make sure we're executing all that little stuff, whether you agree with it or not. Whether you think it's a soft rule or any, you know, we're coddling these guys too much or whatever, you know, whatever your opinion is, it's like during the game and after the game is not really the time to be disputing the rules. Like the rules are the rules, whether they're the stupidest thing on earth or not. Like, you know, I don't know what to tell you. So it's not the best, and I really wish we could get away from Joe Maddon having to make excuses every game, you know. And I don't mean that necessarily in a derogatory way. Like I don't think that a lot of what he's saying is meant to, well, you know, it's not our fault that we're playing bad, or I don't think it's anything like that, but it just would be nice if we could just play well and Joe Maddon didn't have to come up with another reason for why we, you know, kind of look like garbage in half these days. So
And look, okay. And before we ended our last podcast, before this series started, you even said, you know, if the Cardinals were to sweep the Cubs, I still feel pretty confident about the year. And that is, I think that's still 100% true. And the Cubs will they're going to make the playoffs this year. If they don't make the playoffs, something catastrophic happens. But it's okay to be frustrated with the way they've played. And I've seen on Twitter, people say, you know, relax, blah, 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 his team will be fine. And that's true for some of the fans who've taken it to the extremes, but it's okay to be frustrated with Wilson Contreras, you know, throwing through Rizzo and Baez throwing a third base when he needs to get the out of first base.
That's kind of what I meant about, you know, the Carlos Martinez, John Lester thing. There's certain things it's totally all right to be like angry and frustrated about. You know, the overall outlook of the team, or, you know, whether they win a game on, you know, when Carlos Martinez is pitching, like, you know, maybe not the type of stuff that I would be freaking out about. The little stuff, though, that they're not executing, absolutely. I mean, you can get on them for that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, it'll be, you know, I think, you know, I made like a joke about it on Twitter today where like they have an off day tomorrow and I hate when they're off. I love watching them play. It's what, you know, we all cater our day around. But at this point, I really hate watching them lose. So I don't really know what I'm rooting for. Do I want an off day or do I not want an off day? Like, I want them to play, but I don't want to watch them play like this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'll tell you, these like 4-hour games where they're playing like garbage and they can't hit.
It's frustrating.
It's not a lot of fun.
Yeah. But there is a bright spot, and Eddie Butler did make his debut. And I honestly, Cor, I could not be more happier how it went.
I mean, I feel like that went as well as anybody could have imagined it going.
Yeah. We'll get into it a little bit more deeper, but I want to point this out before we talk about Butler as perspective. Butler was throwing 96 miles per hour on average, and that's almost about a mile and a half faster than previous seasons. And granted, now we're using TrackMan and not PitchFX, but that's still higher even if you control for the new technology. He's throwing faster. That's the first thing that stood out. The second thing that stood out was he added a new pitch. And I'm going to write about it on Cubs Insider a little bit more deeply, but he was throwing a 92-mile-per-hour slider-cutter combo. And who does that sound like to you? That sounds like the same change that Arrieta made when he made his debut with the Cubs, started throwing more cutters, sliders, whatever you want to call that. Previously, Butler averaged 87 miles per hour with this slider. Okay, so a 5-mile-per-hour increase is a significant change. He was throwing quite a bit. So that is something to watch for, because that whenever you see a change in run prevention correlate with a huge change in pitch repertoire, that may continue. That's something to look for. And I think the command at times looked a little spotty, but overall I thought it was fine. I would love to see him continue getting that every fifth day in the rotation, regardless if Anderson's back in, 7 days?
I don't know or care, Brendan. I mean, look, like, you know, again, we're talking about the fifth starter spot, and I think you got anything you could have hoped for in that outing from Butler. He was, you know, like you said, the command was a little spotty at times, but I think Evan wrote about him and, you know, referred to him as like a little effectively wild. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're able to do that, but you're throwing pitches, you know, that hard, and he was throwing a lot of fastballs that were getting a lot of arm side run that looked really nice, a couple that even crossed Wilson up, you know, with how much movement they were getting.
That one game he made of that two-seamer,
that was
very, very, very good.
And, you know, I think going into the series when we recorded last, you know, I was hoping for someone to just fill the role and give them quality innings, you know, be able to go 5, 6, 7 innings, 3, 4 runs, and just do something like that for the rest of the year, so that if the rest of the rotation can normalize a little bit, at least we've got something stable in that fifth spot. And, you know, look, if Eddie Butler can be anything close to what he was on Friday for the majority of this year, it's going to be an immense help, And yes. Look, I mean, I think it greatly changes a lot of the outlook on this stuff. If Eddie Butler can pitch, again, anywhere remotely like that, I'm not even saying like throwing 7 innings six shutout innings? And, you know, if he can pitch anything remotely like that, I mean, that really changes things. I mean, because if he were bad, or, you know, as bad as Anderson was, you know, the urgency to go get another starter, even two other starters, is something you have to really heavily consider. You know, if Butler can occupy that role and be even remotely stable, like I said, it just sort of changes the focus. It allows you to kind of narrow what your need is, which is really important. You know, and we're talking about, you know, you're watching Ian Happ, Eloy Jimenez, you know, just came back and is back at Myrtle Beach, right?
Yeah, Myrtle Beach.
And, you know, you're talking about these guys, like, if they don't have somebody to occupy the fifth spot, and you don't know what's going on with Jake Arrieta, or you don't know what's going to, you know, it's like their urgency is maybe you got to go get, like, a top-end guy, and maybe you got to go get two guys, like, to fill out this rotation.
Yeah.
If you can put Butler in there and he can kind of, like, settle that spot at least down, I mean, that would be a major help to this team. So I think that outing went about as well as it could, and he'll pitch again on Thursday, I believe.
It's the last game of that Red series,
and you know, so we'll see. That'll be his Wrigley Field debut, or his Cubs Wrigley Field debut.
Correct.
He did pitch there with the Rockies in 2015. So, I thought that, you know, in a week or so of not so many bright spots, that was a bright spot, and something that will hopefully be a calming influence on this. So I as I mentioned before we got on, I feel like you are the world's leading authority in all things Jake Arrieta. So I'm going to turn the microphone over to you here for, however long you feel like going. But either push That's people dangerous. Off the ledge, talk them off. But suffice it to say, you're not signing that 7-year extension, right?
No. And every fifth day Arrieta takes a mound is just like another day where I have to contemplate taking some type of anxiety medication. It's like, I don't know what I love Arrieta stuff, and I think he can still be a productive pitcher. Granted, it's like one new worry after another every time he takes the mound. So Corey, today he threw 85 pitches. Okay. How many swings and misses do you think he got in 85 pitches?
Five.
So, there's no right or wrong answer. If you had to take a guess, I mean, I'm sure
five.
Five? Is that your guess?
Sure.
You're spot on. He got five.
Hey, I didn't cheat on that either.
No. So he got five whips. 6% of his pitches were swung at and missed. Okay, that simply is not going to work, even for a heavy sinker ball pitcher like Derek Lowe back in the day. That simply is not going to work. He threw his slider today 23 times. Guess how many whiffs he got on his slider?
One.
You are correct again. This is like a first for us.
Should go on The Price is Right.
So he threw 23 sliders, got one whiff. His career norm for whiff rate for sliders is around 18%, which is above the league average. Again, one whiff and 23 sliders, that's 4%. That's not going to work. Velocity barely reaching 93. We'll see how that normalizes after it's corrected by Brooks Baseball. But, I mean, where do I even begin with Arrieta? His velocity has been down. His command has been spotty. And this is all of late. He started the year off, I thought, a little bit better with the command, and I was actually pretty excited about it despite the velocity drop. But when you're, especially in these last two starts, when you're leaving pitches up, and your pitches that made your career, and make no doubt about it, the pitch that made Jake Arrieta's 2015 season was that slider. He threw the pitch 30% of the time. He was able to change up the plate with the two-seamer, with the slider, finish off with a curve every now and then. He's not the same pitch. He does not do that anymore. He throws a slider about 15% of the time. He's throwing more curveballs, which is a good pitch in its own right, but not as good as his 2015 slider. And his velocity is down, and his command is worse. And what you see right now is Jake Arrieta is a 4.2 FIP pitcher. And that is 100% how he's pitched this year. And I would not be surprised if that continues. And it pisses me off that I have to actually say this, but it's discouraging. And when you combine Jake Arrieta's poor start with even with Hendricks' FIP is 4.2, and then Lackey's around the same range. Sometimes you have to talk me off the ledge, Corey, with his pitching rotation, but this truly is the one concern. The offense, we can talk about the offense and defense, blah, blah, blah. That I think will normalize. Arrieta is scaring me.
Yeah, well, and, I know it's early and you can certainly turn things around, but in stark contrast to what we saw in 2015 in the offseason when Dexter Fowler bet on himself and got himself a nice big contract from the Cardinals as a result, you are watching what happens when you bet on yourself and lose right now, because Jake Arrieta, every time he steps on that mound, is costing himself an awful lot of money. Yeah. And I don't think he made the wrong decision. And I imagine the talks that the Cubs were interested in during this offseason were totally unfair to him, or at least where he was at the time. But, you know, this is the risk that you run. And he's got plenty of time to turn it around. But like you said, I don't really know that we're seeing I just don't know. And I mean, this goes back to what I've been saying about him for quite some time now, that, you know, there's days where he's really good. There's days where he's really bad. I just don't know.
I just don't know
what you're going to get, yeah. You know, and today, you know, like you said, not generating a lot of whiffs. And, you know, for the most part, today was, you know, not the worst in terms of outcomes for him. Except that he threw a couple terrible pitches that get blasted for home runs.
And that's the thing with him. And that,
yeah.
And that is one reason why his ground ball rate is also significantly down. He was able to get away with some of his spotty command last year. He had a 3.68 FIP. His ERA, however, was far below that number, thanks to a good defense. But the reason he was able to have that low of an ERA is because he kept the ball on the ground. His ground rate was still around 50%, which is well above the league average in the top percentiles of Major League Baseball. This year, he's below league average in grounders. So not only is he giving up harder contact, but the ball is going in the air. And if we ask our good friend Mike Bryant what that translates to, it's extra base hits and it's homers. When you have hard hit balls in the air, they're going far, typically. And someone like Yadier Molina, who just went yard off of him, and then even, well, he had his number in the past, Matt Carpenter went yard. Those were missed pitches. Like, those, he missed his spot. He left it up, and that's the price you pay.
Yeah, so it's something I really don't know what to make. I just don't, because, I mean, we've seen starts this year where I think, in general, the stuff looks a little better, the command's a little better, and the results still aren't there. We'll see games where the command is worse and the stuff looks worse, but the results are better. You see mixes of that. I really, like I said, I mean, it's my biggest problem with him is that I just don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to expect. And I think with, you know, some of the other guys, there's still, you know, points that, you know, you may not be thrilled about or things that might warrant some inspection. But I feel like with a lot of these guys, we're seeing, you know, I feel like Hendricks is at least trending in the right direction. Whether you want to,
for sure, you know
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And Lackey is Lackey, but that last start he delivered in Colorado was an excellent start.
Yeah.
And at the very least, you know, like, look, Lackey's going to attack hitters. He's going to, you know, sit in the low 90s. You know, there might be some meatballs that he misses and guys take him out. Sometimes he'll get away with him. But you just kind of know what you're going to get. And there's games like that one in Colorado where he just goes right at people and he dominates them.
Right.
But with Arrieta, he feels like the one right now where, like, there's not much, like, positive to really, like, hang your hat on. And I just don't know. And it's strange just because for the last few years, you know, I think we've become accustomed to, even when he maybe has to work with some less than stellar stuff, you know, you can go back to those starts in the World Series, like he was making it work and the stuff was carrying him far enough.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it just isn't right now. And it's, you know, you're getting an awful lot of hard hit balls. Like you said, the whiff rates are concerning. The velos are concerning. So I don't know. I really just don't know. It's something where every time he gets on the mound, it's concerning and I hate it,
yeah.
You know, because I feel like it's the only thing you can really think about is like, what version of Arrieta are we going to get today? And it's, I don't want to say sad, but it's just like when it's not, you know, big, strong, tough Arrieta, you're just like, oh, man,
yeah.
You know, this kind of sucks.
The first few starts of the year too, we can go back and listen, but I think you and I were pretty thrilled in how he started the year off because this, and I just touched on this, but as a point of emphasis, the command was much better, much better. And I thought, okay, you know, the stuff is not as sharp as previous years. And if he's throwing a little bit slower, like, I'll definitely sacrifice that for better command. But now we're seeing the command revert back to kind of his wild stages of last year. And that is a concern. So if his FIP last year was basically slightly above average, And he was averaging about 84.5 miles per hour last year. If this continues and his velo is indeed around 93 miles per hour, like, I'm sorry, but you are getting a below average production the rest of the season. And I hate to say it, but that's the likely outcome with that type of stuff right now. But on the other hand, Hendricks has definitely been trending up, and he looked much better in his last start. The four-seamer was moving more like a cutter. That's interesting. I don't know if I talked about this last time, but that's on Cubs Insider if you want to read more about that. But overall, I think Theo will not let this rotation by July stay like this. And am I concerned going forward? I mean, I'm more frustrated than concerned, and the current group of guys concerns me, but big picture with the rotation, I'm not going to lose sleep over it, especially if someone like an Eddie Butler can continue to perform like this. You throw another guy into the machine, into the Bosio machine with good stuff, and you're going to get good results. But that being said, I will be shocked if Candelario or Happ are on this team after July. I would just be shocked.
Yeah, I mean, and we've said it before, but it's like the bullpen's really good.
Yeah.
No worry there. And the offense is the offense. Like, I think I said this last time, but it's like, if you're worried that Anthony Rizzo all of a sudden isn't good, we've got way bigger problems than whether this team's going to be good. You know, like,
we're
not only do we believe in these guys and we know that a lot of these guys are just better than this, but we're pot committed on that. Like, they're not, they can't really fix the offense if this is a thing. And it also feels like they're right there. I mean, you know, they're getting the runners in scoring position. I know they're not driving them in, but their approach overall looks pretty good. And I think it'll iron itself out. But like I said, it's like, you know, these are the guys, you know what I mean? Like they can't really fix it. And like, if an offense that consists of Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant and Kyle Schwarber and everybody else is going to continue to underperform, like I said, we got way bigger problems than little, you know, changes that we can make at the deadline, right?
But the
rotation, that's something we can address, and something that, and we've been saying it the whole time, like, Theo is not going to allow this rotation to tank this team.
No.
And right now they have a bevy of people who they don't really know how to get them in the game and how to deal with their playing time and where to put them. You know, so I don't know who they may target. I don't know what kind of package you're looking at. I don't know if they would start and stop with Ian Happ. I don't know if they go with Jimenez as well. We're just going to have to see. But this rotation is not going to tank this team, at least without some intervention first.
Yeah, Schwarber, I think, is a good example, too. Numbers look bad. Plate approach looks good. Contact looks good. Even the power looks good. I mean, this past Cardinal series, I think he hit maybe five pitches. I have to go look at the actual numbers. But if I had to take a guess, he hit five pitches over 97 miles per hour, all for outs.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, and then
yeah, I mean, there's just nothing you can do about it. He's a guy who, you know, they shift hard against him, and, you know, he's a guy that isn't really able, and you don't really want him to try to adjust to that.
Yeah.
You want him ripping the ball, pulling the ball. That's his strength, and that's, you know, just something that'll figure itself out. I mean, I don't really know any other way to say that. His, you know, you can go back and look at his single in Game 7 of the World Series in the 10th inning. You know, he rips that through the shift. I mean, I think it's Kipnis who's playing short right, is right there, and he hits it too hard. It just goes past him. I mean, it's right into the shift.
Yeah.
That's just the kind of, you know, especially when he hits a ball on the ground, that's just the kind of hitter he's going to be. Like, some of them are going to find a hole, some of them aren't. Like, but if he's up there hitting the ball, you know, like you said, 97 miles an hour plus, you know, like, there's not, you know, what do you can't, you have him do that every time, you know, and that the swing that ends the game on Saturday where he almost hits, you know, a game tying home run, I mean, he hits that 400 feet. You know, I think it was like 110 miles an hour off the bat.
Yeah, off one of the best relievers.
Like, you're taking that every time, yeah. right? If he could hit that same ball every time, like, you take it. Sometimes yeah. it's going to be an out. Sometimes the wind's going to knock it down. Sometimes, depending on the park you're in, that's not far enough or whatever. But you can't – I mean, you, that's how baseball works. You know, you know what I mean? Like, you right. want the guys to hit the ball hard in the air on a line. Sometimes they get down. Sometimes they go out. It is what it is. You know yeah. what I mean? So yeah. And look, I mean, I think he's hitting like 190, but he's got like a 330 on base percentage. Like, he'll, you know, you get a couple more hits in there, his numbers look pretty darn good. So, and, you know, I'll say this. I know you were pointing it out earlier, but he's been fine in the field.
He's been good in the field. Yeah, he's throwing runners out. He's diving into the stands. His UZR
is, which is
like
funny because
great.
It's, you know, that's what people wanted to talk about and worry about on the defense. And instead, they should have been worried about the guys that they never thought they'd have to worry about. You know, yeah. you got Baez kicking the ball all over the field. And
yeah.
meanwhile, Kyle Schwarber is not making any errors out there.
It's,
so
it's pretty funny.
It's a weird, yeah. I mean, this has just been a very strange start to this year. And yeah, look, I mean, we're as frustrated as anybody. I still think that this team is too good and will make the playoffs and we'll go on a run here and get things straight. Like, this baseball hasn't been that bad. It's just been bad enough that they're losing these kind of toss-up games, you know?
Well, yeah, and when you contrast it to last year, when basically that was, like, the best Cubs team we may ever see in our lives, like, it's
a bit more of a grind.
Out.
Yeah.
And I was actually thinking, Corey, especially with the Mets starting pitching injuries over the past year, and the way the Cubs pitchers have performed this year, that is why you develop position players, because at any moment's notice, your prized pitching possessions will just completely obliterate your team. And yeah. the Mets with Syndergaard and Harvey and Mats and Zach Wheeler, that's a great example. And then even with the Cubs this year, with Hendricks underperforming and Arrieta continuing to regress, and Lackey, although he's older, he's looking better recently, but he's even having a worse start to the season. You just don't know with these pitchers. So it's good, and I think it's a really good standout point when you look at this current group of young Cubs position players. That is why you build around those types of guys. And then you can
yeah.
then you can trade them come the deadline to boost up your pitching. But I just wanted to point that out. We don't have to go off on that, but I was thinking about that, and it was just on my mind.
I think the moral of that point is we might be under 500, but thank God we're not the New York Mets.
Right? Like,
And look, I mean, we might be in for – you know, like last year, it was a bit of a cakewalk for everybody. You know, we were quite far ahead in that division. And, you know, we might have to prepare ourselves for a good old-fashioned, like, September, you know, division race. Maybe not. You know,
I would be shocked if that even happened, though. I still think this team's going to blow.
No, I mean, I'm just saying we might just, you know, we might just have to prepare for it. But that's what it is. But this team is good enough to do it. And if another team in the division is up to the task, then let's go, you know. Mm-hmm. But, like I said at the beginning, this podcast is a lot more fun when they're not playing like this.
And again, this is like the first podcast where we've actually, like, this is like the first podcast where I'm actually, like, genuinely, like, pissed off.
there's no lie. It's very frustrating. And I mean, it feels like at this point, it's like a miracle if we get through a game where you don't kind of, like, shake your head at something that they're doing out there.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. I don't have an explanation for it. But again, they know they have to clean it up. And, you know, there's just certain guys on the team where they're just not, you know, and I don't mean to pick on Baez. It's really nothing against Baez. I think Baez has been fine. But, you know, he's like not established enough or good enough to like not make those plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, unless he's getting his hitting together and I miss the memo, like, nobody's coasting. I don't mean to imply that, but it's just like some of these guys, you know, the reason that they mix and match so many players and all that stuff is to maximize their situations. And if these guys are screwing around in the situations that they're put in because they're supposed to be the best situations for them, it's like they're not good enough to do that. You know what I mean? Like, you got to make sure that you're tightening up the little stuff when you're a young player. You know what I mean? That's kind of what I was saying about Contreras at the beginning, where it's like, dude, you've got so much you got to handle as a young catcher, and he handles so much of it well. I mean, he's killing it for all intents and purposes, especially where he came from as a prospect. I mean, he's killing the game
absolutely.
Now. No questions asked, right? Yeah. But it's like, man, like, wouldn't it be a lot easier for you if you could, like, just focus on controlling a staff and your hitting and adjusting as a major league hitter? And, like, not whether or not you're costing us games by throwing the ball into the outfield. It's like that stuff's just got to get tightened up. It's just that there's too much going on for these little things to be falling by the wayside. You know, it's like with Chris Bryant, it's one thing. But with some of these guys, it's like you are, like, not there yet to be missing some of these little plays. Like, we got to really tighten this up, or we got to reevaluate some of this stuff. And you know, especially now you've got Ian Happ in the fold, like, things are pretty – it's going to be the Wild West in terms of playing time for some of these guys. So when you're in there, you got to be executing the small stuff. We can't be, you know, not turning double plays and, you know, not covering bases and throwing the ball away. Like, this stuff has to stop. And that's a good transition. We're back at Wrigley Field, and we've got the Cincinnati Reds. And, Brendan, I don't ever like to call series must-win. I don't ever like to pick on who's coming in here. But I'm just going to throw this out to you right now. The Chicago Cubs are facing Bronson Arroyo, Scott Feldman, and Luis Alberto Bonilla in three games against the Cincinnati Reds at Wrigley Field. They have to win this series. Borderline, they have to sweep. At this point, we're in mid-May. Now you're under 500. This is get it the F together time. All right. This is one of those things where, again, you go in, you play a hot St. Louis team. You get, I believe, their two best performing pitchers right now in Mike Leake and Carlos Martinez in that series. I don't have any shame in taking one of three. Right. Yeah. I think we played well enough to probably win more than that. I would love to win more than that. But that's the kind of thing where it's like, all right, whatever. You took one of three on the road from a tough team, like, big deal. You know, we already won a series there this year. I'm not freaking out about that. When the Reds come in and these are the three guys they're putting on the bump, there's no excuses. Like, this is a series you have to win. This is borderline three games you have to win.
Yeah. And not only that, in addition to the upcoming series, but then you have Milwaukee coming to town, and you have a struggling Giants team coming to town after that, and then they go to LA, and San Diego comes, and then they go to San Diego after LA. But the next four out of the five series are against teams that you should be beating pretty handedly, and especially in this upcoming Red series, they just faced Arroyo, 2 weeks ago? I mean, that should be a home run derby type game, to be honest with you. And then Scott Feldman, I mean, come on, Scott Feldman. I don't know. It's if they don't come away with, like, at least a series win, I will be extremely. You may get another podcast where I'm talking to this tone. But with that said, though, Corey, anything in particular? We talked about a lot about cleaning stuff up. But what would you like, I guess, a more narrow goal in this upcoming Red series? What would you like to see?
I mean, I think I said it. I mean, just clean it up. Like, and that's what I said before this Cardinals series, and they didn't really listen. So,
I can email this to Joe Maddon.
I mean, you just got to clean it up. Like, this is, it'll be, Arroyo and Lackey 7:05 on Tuesday. Feldman, Kyle Hendricks, 7:05 on Wednesday. Bonilla and Eddie Butler, day game on Thursday, 1:20.
Yeah.
You just got to clean it up. I mean, enough. You know what I mean? It's the Cincinnati Reds. Like, this is, you know, at some point you just got to turn it on.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't have to win every game 10-0 or whatever, but we it just has to be cleaner. We got to get – I'd love to see the offense get going, you know, and – we've seen Rizzo goes through these stretches. In no way, shape, or form do I think it's a rational thing to be concerned about Anthony Rizzo. they'll be fine. But again, you know, we just got to get it going, man. I mean, they're under 500. It's May, you know, like it's not a big deal. Like, it's a very long season and, you know, excuses be damned. Like, I'm not sitting here like trying to make excuses for them, but it's like, whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But at some point it's also like, all right, like you can get a good bit of leeway here, but you got to pick this up.
Mm-hmm.
And again, losing a series on the road to the Cardinals, one thing, especially when you were in the games that you lost. This is not that, right? Like, this is the Reds in your park. You got a homestand. Like, let's go. Yeah. Hashtag let's go.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully the next podcast after the Red series includes a little bit happier version of myself and Corey.
If it doesn't, I'm telling you, get ready for that explicit rating. We'll turn this. I don't know how easy it is to turn the switch on that, but I'm ready, Brendan.
So if you don't know what we're referring to, if you search Cubs related in iTunes, there's a little tag underneath us that says clean. So we're included in the clean podcast section.
Family friendly,
but also, if you do see that, click subscribe. That would be awesome. And give us a review if you're so kind to. But I don't know. I don't think we'll get to explicit anytime soon just because the Cubs should be playing better.
I don't know. See, the thing, though, too, is I don't know if people are ready for that. I feel like we tried that once, and it just doesn't go. Like, I have a bit of a dirty mouth. And,
really?
Yeah, so
I didn't know that.
I'll tell you, Brendan. We change that rating. You lose to Bronson Arroyo twice in the same year. Ooh, boy! I'll tell you. I mean, we can rile some stuff off. I don't even think we need it.
Yeah.
Look. Let it all out. If you're out there, I mean, you are definitely allowed to be frustrated. You are definitely allowed to be concerned. You know, like we always say, try to keep it rational. Try to take a step back.
Of course.
You know, if you're suggesting sending some of these guys down or trading them or anything crazy, you know, try to evaluate what it is you want and think that is the best. Is it really the best thing for this team? You know, some of this stuff that you see out there. But in general, like, yeah, look, I mean, this is a team that just won 103 games and won the World Series. And I, as much as anybody, was a little cocky coming into the year. I bought into the Deep Heat slogan and, you know, all these other slogans. And it's time to live up to them.
Agreed.
You know, walking around in a T-shirt's one thing. But, you know, you're on the field. Again, you're under 500, man. Like, that's – it doesn't – in theory, it doesn't mean anything. But it's like, you know, you're under 500. Like,
yeah.
Let's go. Like, pick it up. Let's go. No better time to start it than with the whipping boy of the NL Central, the Cincinnati Reds. And if it's not that way, then, you know, good luck. I think it should be nice at Wrigley Field for this homestand, finally. And, you know, but we're also, I think, at the point where these home starts get a little interesting. You know what I mean? If they come out and they, you know, keep kicking the ball around the field or getting bad pitching, I mean, I think – you're going to get the boo birds out in full force. You're going to get some real agitated people at these games. And, at this point, I'd say they deserve it. You know, like this is, like you said, I think at the beginning, it's a little tough to explain. I'm not exactly sure why this is happening. You could blame probably me for giving it all away before game seven, but I'd do it again. here we are. I didn't really, and you know, I think you and I were both the people on those, going back to the preseason prediction podcasts. I thought they would be 12 games in first place by this point.
I don't think anybody expected this type of struggle in mid-May. I mean, we're sitting here May 14th talking about a below 500 team. That's,
oh boy,
that's in my worst nightmares. That,
all right,
yeah, wouldn't
well happen. Yeah, hey, I mean, this is the kind of thing that tests that bandwagon. You know how strong you build that. And you know, like I said, it'll be interesting. You know, you've got, especially with Hap up here, I mean, this is an interesting time, man. I mean, it's hard to tell if people are on display for scouts and for trades. And, you know, we don't really have a lot of insight into exactly what Theo's thinking right now and what he thinks of what's been going on out here. So
and they'll give it time, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I just think it's an interesting time because this team is better than this, and I very much hope that they start to play that way because these you know 3 to 4 hour stretches of being really really annoyed every day are
it's
you know
getting old.
Yeah, they're getting old pretty fast.
Yeah.
Like I said, when I signed on to this podcast, I was promised that this is not what would be happening. So
well, I'm sorry for not fulfilling your expectations there.
Yeah, you got to pick things up
okay.
here. So, but yeah, Cubs Reds starts on Tuesday, 7:05 with. You know what's weird? Wasn't it Lackey and Arroyo the last time?
Yeah, it was, because we made a joke about two, like, guys who could have been pitching in 2004. Remember that?
Yeah, an MVP baseball.
Yeah,
so I don't know why
right.
that, I, you know, I mean, I guess it's not that strange for that to line up again, but that's just for
it's
that
strange.
Matchup to, for the John Lackey, Bronson Arroyo matchup to keep happening in 2017 is a little strange.
Yeah.
But, yeah, clean it up. Hopefully Eddie Butler is good again. I think that's probably going back to your question of what I'm looking at most. If he can give us another one, I think that would kind of really be like, okay, like this might really be a solution to this problem.
Or I want to see Addy get
one element to this problem. Yeah.
That shoulder's scary. Like I'm never concerned about hitters unless they're injured in some capacity, and a shoulder injury can linger throughout the season. We saw it with Bryce Harper last year. We've seen it with several players.
Well, hey, if Addy can come back the way Bryce has come back from that,
absolutely.
I'm all for that. I'll suffer through suffer through the downtime.
Yeah, no problem.
And yeah, I think my last note is that I hope Chris's tummy or whatever it is feels better.
Yeah.
Thinking about you, Chris.
This has been the Cubs Related Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter. Corey's tag, or is it tag? I can never get this.
Handle,
yeah, thank
so good
you. I'm not. His is at CF Cubs Related. Mine is just at Cubs Related. And then you can go to iTunes, like I was saying before. You search Cubs Related in the search bar. Click subscribe. Our podcasts are uploaded to iTunes immediately after I click stop recording, which will happen very soon here. And then you'll get a notification to your phone, to your desktop. You can obviously control those notifications, so it's not too annoying if you don't want that. They're also downloaded to your phone, too, if that's more convenient for you. With that being said, Corey and I, hopefully in the next podcast, will be coming at you in a less angry tone.